Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here again with you on Sunday evening.
Always good to be here on Sunday evening.
Amen.
And I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. Oh, no, wait a minute. I say that at the end.
Yeah.
I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
Anyway. Up until this point.
A good Sabbath day yesterday and a good Lord's Day today.
Yeah.
And here we are again. And, oh, boy. You know, we were talking during the week about should we maybe do one more show about Peter.
He's getting a lot of airtime.
He's got a lot of airtime. Wow. I'll tell you what, since probably sometime in April, it's been going.
And certainly since, send him an invoice?
Certainly since Pentecost. Yeah. Oh, and, I don't know.
Wait, he said a lot of good stuff. So
he
Interestingly,
last week, if you were with us, and if you weren't with us, you can go to givethegraceministries.org.
Say it's not so.
And listen to last week's show. And we don't know what possibly could have happened if you didn't listen to the show. I mean, the world didn't end. There wasn't thermonuclear war.
Wow.
Yeah.
Say it's not so. Someone missing.
So all four of you that usually listen, I don't know where you were.
Yeah. That includes me and you. So there's only two other
people.
That's
true. I'll send your cards and email to Steve.
Yeah, just reach me at the. Yeah.
We don't want any kind of critical email.
Yeah, that's too hard on our psychological.
It bruises my ego.
Yeah.
We've had a few of those.
Too hard on our psychological growth.
We've had a lot of positive ones.
Yes, we have.
A lot. And I have to say that a lot of them have been, almost all of them have been very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
We've had maybe two or three that have not been encouraging, but, you know, that's going to happen.
Maybe something to think about.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure Peter used to get emails that were discouraged.
You know, all the time. Yeah, he would get,
somebody would send him a little scroll that he got upset when he read it.
Wouldn't they send tweets to Peter and instant messages and stuff like that? Yeah.
He'd be walking and all of a sudden his phone would chirp and he'd look at it and say, oh, gosh, that makes me feel horrible.
Another complaint. Oh, gosh. What's the world coming to?
Ever since we let those Gentile believers in.
Oh, man.
Anyway, last week. Enough of this frivolity. Last week, we started in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we kind of went through how Peter talks about how we have a living hope. That was really good. I thought that was that was kind of the main point of it all.
Yeah.
We have a living hope. And because of the death of Jesus and because of his resurrection and because we believe – and through faith, it says that we have an inheritance which is more precious than gold. And even though we struggle along the way and we have trials and we have some tribulations and we have issues, we still have that living hope to look forward to.
Right.
And I think for us, and I'm not saying that it's easy because sometimes it hasn't been easy, and in my day-to-day work, I talk to people that when they tell me all the things that have happened to them and all the problems that they've had, I sometimes just sit back in the chair and go, oh, this poor guy, what else could happen to this poor guy?
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be pretty overwhelming, but Peter points out that because we have this living hope and because that hope leads to our inheritance in heaven, and that's unfading, not going to disappear. God's not going to change his mind. We have that to look forward to. And the other thing I think was interesting is that all the other programs that we did about Peter, in his letters, he really has quite a different approach. You know, I think I used the term, it was more pastoral. I'm not sure if that was the right term or not, but it was certainly kind of a more serious, reasoned kind of thing. It wasn't preaching out in the street, and it was kind of an educational kind of thing that he developed in a very calm, reasoned way. And again, it kind of shows you how you go from being a hardworking fisherman to writing this very nice, calm, serious letter to then eventually being martyred and knowing that he himself had the living hope.
Yeah.
You know, he had denied the Lord three times.
Right.
He had had, you know, we talk about somebody who denies the Lord and doesn't believe or doesn't want to follow, and we say, oh, Peter denied him three times.
Yeah.
And, you know, and here he is. And Jesus himself foretold this because he said to Peter, once you're restored, then you're going to take care of your brethren. Mm-hmm. So he says, you know, you're going to fall, but then you're going to be restored.
Yeah.
And so here he was.
Yeah. You know, when you're saying that about how Peter denied the Lord three times, Peter knew him. Peter walked with him for 3 years. He knew him. He just didn't know things about him. He wasn't like reading some commentary and going, well, let me check out this Jesus Christ guy and see what he's all about. See if I, you know, if I want to believe his teachings. He lived and knew him physically.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a difference. And, you know, that the... You know, you were asking about, you know, saying it's a pastoral letter. It is, because it's really instruction. It's like he's reflecting upon his life, his time of ministry. And now he's given instruction for the next generation of those who are going to be preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
And those who are not just those who are going to be preaching the gospel, but those who are going to be coming into faith in Christ. And what that faith means.
Yeah. Yeah. And he talks about how you've had, I think it's kind of neat because at the beginning, you know, he invokes the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he talks about God the Father, the sanctification of the Spirit, the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of a very powerful image and goes to, I always like to talk about how the plan of salvation unfolds. And when you look within, not that we can look, but when you consider within the Godhead, each of the persons within the Godhead has a part. That's not really a good word. There's no words to really describe it, but have a part in all of this. And he acknowledges the three persons of the Trinity and invokes them as saying, well, your hope is in this. And the evidence of this is the resurrection. So this is what gives you a living hope.
Yeah.
Because we say, you know, Jesus himself said, God's the God of the living, not the dead.
Exactly.
We haven't put our hopes in a dead savior.
Right.
We haven't put our hopes in somebody who was executed, buried, and then they put up a nice monument and said, you know, he was an awesome guy and they killed him.
Yeah.
We know he's a living hope.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus, you know, when he went around and when he was on the earth, he healed people. He restored people.
Yeah.
He raised people from the dead.
Yes.
You know, he didn't, you know, things didn't die around him.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they flourished. You know, they got better and flourished.
Yeah. And he goes on, and I want to, after that little review, which always turns into a long review for me. Maybe we'll have Stephen read this next little section that I think we should talk about. This is in 1 Peter chapter 1. How about reading 10 through 12?
Sure. Concerning this salvation, prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and investigated it, investigating the time and circumstances that the Spirit of Christ within them indicated when it testified in advance to the sufferings destined for Christ and for the glories to follow them. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you with regard to the things that have now been announced to you by those who preach the good news to you the Holy Spirit sent from heaven things into which angels longed to look.
Ooh.
Wow.
I love that last line. We'll get to that in a minute because that's one of my particular favorites about angels. And we've always kind of, you know, semi-seriously talked about don't get Gabriel mad. But, you know, we'll get to angels in a minute. But now in this passage that Stephen just read, you see that Peter takes this opportunity to teach in terms of the scriptures that they knew. They knew the scrolls that the prophets had written.
Mm-hmm.
They heard them every Saturday morning at the synagogue. At that time, as you can imagine, it was pretty hard to have a complete scripture at your house because you would have had to have however many scrolls that is.
Yeah.
It would be pretty difficult. And nobody would have been able to afford to buy all the scrolls because after you hand copy them, you know, you can't just sell them for a dollar or a couple of shekels. You know, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
So you didn't have the scripture readily available.
Well, that's why there were scribes, because that was their total task, was to copy the manuscript.
Exactly.
Precisely and exactly.
So when you went on Shabbat morning, on the Sabbath morning, on the Saturday morning, and of course we like to teach about the Jewish roots of our faith, mm-hmm. it was Saturday morning. When you went to the synagogue, you heard a cycle of readings,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't necessarily say to yourself, ooh, that was a very interesting passage you read from Isaiah. I think I'll reread that when I get home. Because chances are you didn't have a scroll of the book of Isaiah at home.
Exactly.
And, you know, the rabbi wasn't going to give any old person who came by the scroll of the book of Isaiah, because if it was damaged or lost or the guy's house caught on fire or whatever it was, they'd be out the scroll.
Yeah. You know, you bring up a good point, because in our day and age, Everybody has access to a Bible.
Yes.
If you want it.
You have multiple ones in your house, in your car, on your computer, on your phone.
on your mobile device or whatever. So in our day and age, it's very easy to think, oh gosh, people didn't learn about this stuff.
Yeah.
But you have to go back in time and realize the printing press obviously wasn't invented mm-hmm. until the 15th century, 16th century. So to make another copy of something, it was hand done.
Yeah.
And to copy a scroll was painstakingly slow because it had to be accurate.
Yes.
They couldn't make mistakes.
You had to have quality control.
Yeah. You know, because the scribe, you know, if the scribe wanted to really mess things up, he could just put his own words in there, and there you would have something.
Change a couple of words and the whole meaning could be different.
Exactly. So it was painstakingly, there was a very serious nature to it. So, up until that time, that there was the ability to reproduce things other than hand by hand,
mm-hmm.
people didn't have access to.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to go and read the first book of Peter.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no, that's not out yet. We don't have it on printing press. You know, well, I'm going to go and read Isaiah, like you said. No, you couldn't do that. You had to go to the synagogue. You had to go to your church,
mm-hmm.
and that's where everything was kept.
Yeah.
Because it was safeguarded.
Yeah. And even in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus, the synagogue at Nazareth, it says they handed him the scroll of Isaiah. When he was done reading, he rolled it up and handed it back to the attendant. I mean, these things had to be guarded.
He didn't take it home as a souvenir?
He didn't take it home.
Oh.
And if he would have said to the guy, I'm going to take the scroll of Isaiah home, I'll bring it back next week, they would have said, no.
Exactly.
We have to keep it here. And so they can't read this for their homework. When I always say, well, you can read that for your homework, it's easy to say when you've got, you know, five or six printed Bibles at home.
Yep.
You got two or three different versions on your phone.
Yeah.
You got three or four different versions on your iPad. You have a computerized Bible study thing on your laptop. I mean, you can go home and read whatever book you feel like reading.
Exactly.
Not to mention every commentary about it.
Yeah.
So when they had the rabbis and the teachers write commentaries on something, those, mm-hmm. of course, also had to be written on scrolls.
Yeah.
So when somebody said, did you see Rabbi so-and-so's commentary on Deuteronomy? You'd say, well, no, actually, I haven't, because where would I get such a thing?
Well, it's on Facebook. Oh, no, yes. No, it wasn't around there.
And so Peter gets, keeping that in mind, because that's the time that he lives in, and after he had just talked about this living hope and the salvation, you know, he starts there in verse 10. It says, this is the salvation that the prophets talked about.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys remember the readings from the prophets, there were things that the prophets wrote about the Messiah, what he would be like, what he would do, the grace that would come to you, he says. In other words, what your salvation was going to be. I mean, there's so many examples, I wouldn't even know where to start. But, you know, Jeremiah 31:31 comes to mind. I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And it's not going to be like the old covenant. So you guys heard stuff like that. And if you were living, you're living in the Mosaic covenant and you're doing the things according to the law. And then one of the prophets says, there's going to be a new covenant, which is not going to be like the old covenant. You would say, what in the world is he talking about?
Yeah.
So when Peter says, remember when he said that, now we have a new covenant. He doesn't say it in that many words, but this is what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. The prophets talked about these things. They prophesied about grace. You may not have gotten it at the time, but think about it now. And they said the Spirit, he calls it the Spirit of Christ. So the Spirit was in them, telling them what to say. Telling them not only that Messiah was going to be glorified, but also that Messiah was going to suffer. We know there's Isaiah 52:53 are the most common quoted ones, but there's a lot of Psalms, there's a lot of passages in the other prophets where it says the Messiah is going to suffer. In fact, they have a term, it's a suffering servant.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the Spirit was telling these prophets, revealing this to them. It wasn't them that was doing it. It wasn't they that was doing it.
Right.
I think is more correct. They weren't just saying this off the top of their head, or they had some intuition about it. This is the Spirit was telling them so that they could reveal this to the people. And he says, now we're telling you about the gospel that the Holy Spirit has sent from heaven. In other words, now you're hearing a new revelation, same Spirit, but now the Spirit's come in us.
Mm-hmm.
They had been filled with the Spirit on Pentecost, and we've been kind of going with this theme. But he says the Spirit's come to us, and now we're telling you the good news. We're telling you the gospel. Wow, it's a break already. I was just getting warmed up. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back. Chains of death are broken, Lord of hosts, pour your power out. We have overcome by the name of the blood of the Lamb of God. Every wall must fall, every knee must bow to the Lord.
Lion of Judah roars. Strongholds crumble all around us at the presence of our Lord.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I haven't heard that song for a while.
No, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. We Have Overcome.
Yeah.
That's off of, not Jerusalem Arise, but, Jerusalem Arise.
Jerusalem Arise, yeah.
One of Paul Wilbur's finest CDs.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't been to a concert in a while either.
We should sing that at One of Messiah.
We should.
Speaking of One of Messiah.
What is that anyway? Is it a church?
No. I think it's more of a prayer meeting, yeah. Or is it a congregation? It's in Parma.
It's kind of like an awesome prayer meeting.
It's an awesome prayer meeting, yeah.
It's in Parma, and it's at 5994 Ridge Road, which is New Life Fellowship.
Yep.
And Pastor Dan Short, who's a very good friend of mine and has been an important part of my life for the last 7 or 8 years, because he taught me the Song of Songs. That's what I remember him the most for, which totally changed my whole thinking on the scripture. But he's nice enough to let us use his church on Friday evenings. And we start at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen does an awesome half hour, 40 minutes of messianic praise and worship and Christian praise and worship and whatever. He's the music minister. That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
Then
I do a teaching, or if I'm not there, Stephen does the teaching, or sometimes, actually nobody else has done it yet, but
no.
Who knows? Someday we may have a guest lecturer, or someday Paul Wilbur may come and
He
and Steve could do the praise and worship.
Ooh, there we go.
We'll cancel my teaching if Paul Wilbur shows up.
Paul will let you do the teaching.
But we meet from 6 to about 7:15, 7:20, and I promise it won't go later than 7:30. And we have some fellowship time, some prayer time, and it's
a very nice time. It's a very
I really
nice
learn the roots of the faith, you know, the olive tree that we're grafted into, and
mm-hmm.
like Peter's talking about here. The prophets talked about all this. The Torah talked about all this. The Psalms talked about all these things. And so come and check it out. Anyway, so Peter's talking about, go ahead, what are you going to say?
Every Friday?
Every Friday, 6 p.m.
Okay.
5994 Ridge Road in beautiful Parma.
I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm there already.
You do the music. If you don't come, then I have to do the music.
Oh, no, that's true.
Well, last time we did that, everybody left except me.
Was it those minor chords? Was it that?
Yeah. Even my wife left.
Oh, jeez. You'd think that guitar you bought would play itself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that was expensive.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
Am I going to have to take lessons or what? I don't know.
Yeah, generally you have to do that. Oh. It's usually a requirement.
Oh. It looks pretty easy. Yeah, it's, you know, like when you watch a brain surgeon, you know, it looks pretty easy doing that.
Sure.
Oh, my. Anyway. So Peter says the prophets have searched these things. They've prophesied the grace that would come to you. And the grace is going to come to you,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty neat. It's not going to be from something extraordinarily difficult that you have to do. The grace is going to come to you. And even the sufferings of the Messiah are foretold. And the Spirit led them to do this. And now the Holy Spirit's empowered us to give you this message of salvation. And one of my favorite things there is he adds, things which angels desire to look into.
Yeah.
The angels don't get this.
Mm-hmm.
They can't figure out why does God love these humans so much? This doesn't make any sense to angels.
You know, they're pretty nice. You know,
well,
nice,
you know, When you characterize angels as being those little chubby baby-looking things with wings, you know, that float around, and sometimes they have a harp.
Yeah.
And most of the time they just smile and look cute.
Real cute.
But when you realize that every time somebody sees an angel in the Bible, the angel says, don't be afraid.
Yes.
That means Why when you that? See one, your first impression is to go,
oh, don't be afraid.
So you have these powerful spirit beings that are intelligent. They don't have a physical form. They don't die. They don't get sick.
Mm-hmm.
They don't whine and complain. The ones that whined and complained are,
yeah, they're
in a different kingdom
they're
now.
They're gone.
But they have this majestic existence mm-hmm. before the throne, and they've been there a long time. And then they look at the earth and they see human beings who are frail, who age, who are rebellious,
mm-hmm.
who get sick and die.
Yeah.
And a plan of salvation comes for these human beings. And they don't quite get it. Why does God love those humans there? It seems like he kind of loves them more than he loves us. You know, mm-hmm. you know, when our friends mm-hmm. fell, you know, the friends we had, however many millions of years ago it was, or that decided to go with Lucifer, mm-hmm. who then became Satan. Boy, you know, God didn't do anything to restore them.
Yeah.
And this sorry looking bunch down there, the second person of the Trinity becomes incarnate to become the perfect sacrifice to make salvation possible for them.
Yeah.
As a free gift. We don't quite get this. So maybe we need to read those prophets.
Well, you bring up an interesting point because first off, the angels are there in the presence of God, so they see the glory of God. They experience the glory of God. They live in the glory of God. So for them to rebel against that, we don't see that. So obviously there's a difference there, but I just want to point that out for the listeners. I know you know that. But I wanted to point that out for the listeners because sometimes I think, you know, as you study your faith or you wrestle with your faith, these type of questions really do come up and go, mm-hmm. well, why wouldn't God do that?
Yes.
You have to think in the context of where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
They are there in the spiritual realm of heaven with God, an infinite God who is love, mercy, grace, and all those things combined and light.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was with God before all of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he says, glorify your son once more, he came from all that glory.
Yeah.
And became one of us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And suffered and died and was separated from that glory when he took upon the sins of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Mm-hmm.
He's experiencing the separation from God's love from the Father that he's known for all of eternity. He's mm-hmm. experiencing the separation from that. I mean, think of the depth of his separation, knowing what he knew and then being separated from it because of sin.
Mm.
Adam and Eve walked with God. They knew nothing else. Like we said before on the shows, they never saw anything die.
Mm-hmm.
They never saw any of this. The angels saw God's glory. So for them to rebel against this glory and this, you know, the state of, you know, peace and
mm-hmm.
is like, I don't know if we can really understand that because we don't see God's glory
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to attain, you know, or understand salvation. And wow, what is this?
Mm.
So, you know, when Peter says things into which the angels long to look, it must be puzzling because they're there with God for all of eternity. As you said, they see the frailty of human beings and they marvel at it. Like,
yeah.
That God provides a way for us to be reconciled with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing is, it's, you know, it's all of God's creation. God doesn't create anything that's bad. All of God's creation is good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the element of sin that taints it and tarnishes it and diminishes it, which thus makes it
yeah.
bad.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a good point. It's a good summary of the situation. Because a lot of times,
glad
you know,
I was here
yeah.
to help out.
I mean, a lot of, you know, how many times do people say to you, well, you know, how could such a thing happen? Why would such a thing happen?
Yeah.
How did this get so messed up? Well, you know, when you think about it, it's pretty easy to see how things get messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see ministries get messed up.
Yeah.
You see churches get messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You see people who have been working for the Lord and have servants' hearts and doing so many things. And you look at them and you say, wow, you know, that guy does so much stuff and he's so, I never could. And then all of a sudden they have some moral failing or they fall.
Yeah.
And you go, well, how could such a thing happen? Well, because they're humans.
Human. Yeah. They're human.
And they have free will and they have a choice. Okay. They made a wrong choice on this.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody marvels about that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you don't have to look too far through the scriptures to see
yeah,
how things like that happen. But, you know, the other thing is when he talks about the prophets and the angels, the people he's talking to know about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They know about the prophets. They know about the angels. There's all kind of references in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, to angels.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the writings of the prophets. And so they know that if the prophets wrote about this, it prefigured it, it prophesied it, it must be important.
Mm-hmm.
They must have been talking about Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
They must have been talking about this new covenant. You know, we didn't really get this right away, but now that he's explaining this to me, I'm starting to kind of get it.
Yeah.
And when he talks about how the Holy Spirit then brings this message, this good news to them, it's the same as the teaching that Jesus did, that the Spirit of truth is going to come and not only instruct you in the truth, remind you of everything I said, but he's going to make it possible for you to understand the scripture because he's the ultimate author of that scripture.
Yeah.
And so Peter explains this actually in a pretty nice way. And again, the angels are blown away by this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the angels are constantly going around the throne and praising and worshiping, and they're messengers and they see what's going on the earth and they say, man, the place is a mess. We got a nice heaven here. That place is a mess. But why is Jesus going down there in human form to make a way for these people to be saved? They want to look into it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that term he uses. The angels want to look into this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they're asking God all the time, so I don't get this. What's going on? I don't understand this. Why are you doing this? But anyway, it's such a profound mystery that the angels want to look into it. And I think that should be a important thing for us, because when we look into it ourselves, like when I first became a believer, I was so blown away by this that, I mean, I still haven't gotten over it after, you know, 20 or 21 years. I'm still amazed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, you know, several times a day think, wow, this is unbelievable what's happened.
Yeah.
I can't even fathom this.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can't even understand it, imagine how the angels are weirded out by it.
Yeah. Well, it's a great mystery. You know, God's love for us, the depth of his love for us is a great mystery.
Yeah.
Because many times, you know, as human beings, we can tend to want to cast people off after a few misgivings and go, they're not even worth it. You know?
Yeah.
But God doesn't do that. God constantly pursues us, constantly draws us mm-hmm. and gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to come to Him and receive this gift of infinite value,
mm-hmm.
the gift of His mercy and forgiveness. And, you know, Peter is writing this letter after a lot of ministry time, a lot of
mm-hmm. yeah.
time in preaching Christ and Him crucified, preaching the cross of Jesus Christ, preaching, you know, he doesn't preach about the Holy Spirit.
No.
Per se. The Holy Spirit comes in power when He preaches Christ and Him crucified.
Exactly. Like He did at Cornelius' house.
Before
He was even done talking, the Holy Spirit.
Can you imagine that? Yeah. Peter wasn't even done talking.
That was so cool.
God was like, okay, we got the time schedule here. I just got to go, okay, boom. Sorry, Peter. I know you're not done yet, but boom, there you go. All right, I got another appointment for you. Peter. Come on, let's go. Hurry up.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, really so much beyond our own comprehension of what has taken place here,
mm-hmm.
That we marvel at it.
Mm-hmm. Marvel at it.
And the angels look at it and marvel at it.
Yes. Yeah. If you don't, I know you're tired of me saying this, but
if
you don't think about the cross 20 times a day, you don't get what happened there.
Yeah.
If you don't marvel at your salvation, you don't get what happened.
You don't understand it.
It's such an amazing thing because, you know, I think especially now this is, you know, you have to remind people that the Bible is a book about Middle Easterners. It's not a book about Americans.
It's not?
No, it's not a book about Peruvians.
No?
It's a book about Abraham's children.
Abraham.
And then goes, Abraham. Abraham.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's the kingdom, of course. It is about everybody. But the actual story is about those people that lived in the Middle East.
Who God chose.
And we tend to put, you know, American ideas into the Bible. And, you know, a lot of people talk about God like He's 5'10", has blonde hair, blue eyes, and is a Republican and, you know, lives in the suburbs. And, you know, it's, you know, they put their culture into the scripture. And that's, you know, that's kind of dangerous thinking.
Yeah. There's a tendency to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's dangerous thinking.
Well, a lot of people associate their faith with the political process more than they do with the Bible.
Exactly.
Let's be honest about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, when you talk about, and I don't want to talk about politics.
Right.
But you've heard, you know, all the debates that are going on now.
Yeah.
People talk about, you know, being opposed to gun control because we're Bible believing Christians as mm-hmm. if the scripture tells you, you better get yourself some guns, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We put all kind of strange things onto our faith that aren't really there.
Yeah.
That don't belong there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we, that's, you know, not good to do.
No.
This is why, to make another plug for One and Messiah, this is why you need to look at the scriptures.
Yeah.
And you need to study the scripture, not read books about the scripture,
right.
And not read modern interpretations of something.
Right.
That, anyway.
Yeah.
We don't get into that. But, and Peter tells us in the next couple of verses, actually, Steve, why don't you read 13 through 16?
Sure. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, live soberly, and set your hopes completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Like obedient children, do not act in compliance with the desires of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in every aspect of your conduct, for it is written, be holy because I am holy.
So this is basically, the Holy Spirit's telling us, empowering us to preach you the gospel, to preach you the good news. Mm-hmm. So when you've believed this gospel and you've come to faith in Yeshua, Jesus, then how should you live your life after that? Ooh. Mm. And part of that living your life should be listening to Paul Wilbur music. Anyway.
And coming to one of Messiah.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So, Peter, this is basically after presenting this thing about salvation and what the prophets said and how the gospel's being preached to you. So now the question is basically, how should you live? You know, you shouldn't be living like you were living before. There should be a change in you that people would say, you didn't used to be like that. You didn't used to think that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you were a lot more fun before this. But, you know, we're supposed to be sober. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, just the fact that we're not drinking alcohol, but it means we should think soberly. When people tell you crazy, stupid things that they think you should be doing, you say, well, no, I don't think I should be doing that.
Right.
Or when people say to you, you know, you waste an awful lot of time and money doing all this Jesus stuff. Why don't you, like, be normal for a while?
Yeah.
You know, you have to think through things soberly because we're supposed to be obedient children.
Yeah.
Because now we understand that we've been bought with a price. So you shouldn't be living in your former sin, your former lust, or your former power, you know, whatever it was formerly that you did.
Well, you know, when you said, you know, like obedient children, if you look at our culture and our societies today, children don't have to be obedient to anybody because we've created a society where they, if they're obedient to their parents, they don't have to listen to their parents.
That's right.
We've told them that they don't have to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
And we wonder why our culture is out of control. Yeah.
You don't have to listen to your teachers. You don't have to listen to your parents.
Right? There's no respect for any authority. Anyone who has wisdom and knowledge beyond their years, we've told them, you don't have to listen to them.
Yeah.
How foolish is that?
Yeah.
But yet that's the fruit of where we're at in our culture.
Yeah. I heard a guy on the radio describe that as we're committing cultural suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Just like letting the culture fall apart.
Yeah. You know, Peter goes on to say here, if you invoke his father whom judges impartially according to each one's work, conduct yourselves with reverence during the time of your sojourning, realizing that you were ransomed from your futile conduct handed on by your ancestors, not with perishable things like gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a spotless, unblemished lamb.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what you've been bought by. And again, like I said before or last week, I can't remember when I said it, the wording there means you've been bought, redeemed from slavery. You know, we've been redeemed from the slavery of sin. We've been redeemed from bondage to sin. We're new creations now. Mm-hmm. And that hasn't been done because you got some silver or you got some gold or, you know, you won the lottery. So you have the $100 million and now you got a new life.
Right.
It's been bought by his blood. He calls it the precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was prefigured with the Passover lamb.
Yeah.
Lamb without blemish. When you put the blood on your door, you were saved from the curse. When you're under the blood of the spotless lamb with a capital L, you're saved from the curse of sin.
Yeah.
And it says this was foreordained before anything was created, before the foundation of the world, but has been revealed now in these last times.
Yeah.
Because this is the message of salvation. And he was raised. He had glory. So your faith is in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you live in a different way. You live soberly. So when somebody says, why are you going to the church tonight? It's Tuesday. You say, oh man, I can't wait to get there.
Can't wait to get there.
You can't, well, it's going to be awesome. Why are you going to One and Messiah on Friday?
Well, it's awesome.
Because it's really awesome. I come next Friday too. So, you know, these are things where when you've come to this faith and it's had an impact on you, you live your life differently.
Yeah.
I never, you know, 22 years ago, I didn't even want to go to church on Sunday, let alone go on a Friday night, a Wednesday night, a Tuesday night, a Thursday, or whatever it is. But, you know, I would have, you know, I probably spent, I probably spent as much time in my previous life reading a Bible as I do now in probably an hour at my house on an average evening.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't important to me before.
Mm-hmm.
But now you live your life a different way.
Mm-hmm.
like when I used to practice praise and worship music, I mean, that wouldn't have crossed my mind. I wanted to hear rock and roll, but now I just, you know.
You sit there with your McPherson
and guitar and play praise and worship music.
There you go. Yeah. That's awesome.
No, I really don't.
You don't?
But you live your life in a different way.
I do.
And this is what he means by sober.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to go back to your former way.
Right. You don't act, you know, yeah, I mean, you pretty well encompassed it pretty well. You think soberly. You don't think irrationally. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't make unwise judgments and those types of things.
Yeah.
So Peter really encompasses here for us the faith, the gift of faith, the gift of the inheritance that we inherit from God. Mm-hmm. He's really encompasses it here in this first chapter of the first letter of Peter in a very concise and sobering, if you will, a very sobering presentation of it.
Yeah.
For reasserting that we are purchased with the blood of Christ. You know, just as the blood of the lamb was placed on the doorpost of all the Hebrew people in Egypt, as they were delivered out of Egypt, they were under the blood.
Yes.
They were saved by the blood.
Of a spotless, unblemished lamb.
Yeah. So too are we saved by the blood of a spotless, unblemished lamb in Jesus the Messiah.
Amen.
You know, so this is why, like, at One of Messiah, we're doing this, because there's so much to know about the history of salvation, the history of our faith, in the connection between that first Passover and what Jesus Christ has done for us.
Whoa. Oh, that was a great way to close out.
Amen.
Woo. Well, praise, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that this gift that is from God, that is imperishable, that you would come to receive it into your heart and know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
Isaac and Abraham, an altar without a lamb, a covenant made, a hand raised in faith, that God himself...
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.